Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jot van Eyck, and today we're back with another banger. I hope you guys enjoy this as well as much as I do making it. You're obviously listening to it, which makes sense. Now, we're going to talk about the Champions League, the Europa League, and the Conference League first leg quarterfinals. Some very interesting results, some more predictable results. So without further ado, let's get into the Champions League one. We're starting off with which one are we starting off with? Well, the biggest one, Manchester City faced off against Bayern Munich, where it must be said, I thought Bayern Munich were going to do better than they did. And obviously, a lot has changed at Bayern since the last time we recorded the podcast. Thomas Tuchel has come in. Julian Nagelsmann has left the club after poor results, according to the board, Bayern board. God knows why. So that's a very solid manager available on the market for nothing. Chelsea also got rid of Potter, but we'll get to that in a second. So yeah, interestingly enough, Bayern actually got their ass whooped, 3-0, game over, you think, but there's still a second leg. Now anything can happen in second leg. We've seen it plenty of times. Roma 3-0 down or 2-0 down against Barcelona, winning 3-0. Manless header, obviously remontada when Barcelona beat PSG 6-1. I think they were playing at home at the time as well. So yeah, lots can happen, right? With the second leg, so it's not over until it's over. Like Thomas Tuchel said, he said, "What did he say?" He said, "We haven't lost anything yet until we are in the showers." That's what he said. If I look at the game personally, I was very disappointed with the way Bayern's set up. They just lacked a good striker, a solid holding striker. They obviously missed Choupo-Moting. And who would have wondered in 2023 that Bayern Munich were missing Choupo-Moting in the quarterfinal stage of the Champions League against Real Madrid, against well, Manchester City. Like 6 years ago, he plays for Stoke City, Choupo-Moting. So that was very interesting. But he scored like 16 goals or 13 goals in the last 16 appearances for Bayern. So yeah, that was devastating for them to see him fall out injured. Not in this game though, but yeah, they were definitely missing him. He brings a lot which people don't really recognize. They see the stats, but off the ball is also very important to that Bayern Munich team. And you could just see that Gnabry was just struggling. Despite City dominating the ball, there wasn't really much counter-attack opportunities. And if there were, Gnabry wasn't as fast to outrun the defense, like maybe a Kylian Mbappe would be or Vinicius would be. So then he would just go up to the 16-yard box, cut back, try and then you get the passing to the left-hand side, back to the middle to Kimmich, who then plays it off to the right-hand side, and that happened a lot. Now, credit where credit is due, Manchester City absolutely done phenomenal stuff, I think, throughout the game, dominating possession for the majority. That Rodri goal was insane. I was watching with my dad, and as soon as it left his boot, I was like, damn, that's goal. And it flew in top left. And just momentum. It was a really good game for momentum. I think both teams were attacking fairly much. Manchester City did end up losing on possession. So me talking about them dominating possession is totally false. But though they were dominating possession in certain periods, I mean, that's just kicking open doors here. But that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. City, they're 9 shots on target compared to Bayern Munich's 4. And these shots from Bayern Munich were very dangerous. Now, one reason why I also went wrong was Upamecano and Jan Sommer. Both of them didn't really have a good game, especially Upamecano, who's always reliable, at least from what I've seen in the few times I've watched Bayern live. Jan Sommer also someone of which you'd think steady goalkeeper does well generally. But then, you know, we had that moment with Haaland closing him down, looked a bit shaky. Then the couple of crosses where he didn't really come out properly, and he just, you know, when you have that feeling like, you know, it could all go wrong. That basically happened. Upamecano, mate. The ball he passed, which led to the 3-0. And oh, that Haaland assist as well was naughty, wasn't it? Unbelievable stuff from him. So round of applause for Haaland. We know he's a good goal scorer, but that was a footballing ability. That was high tier. That was high class. He just looked up, boom, pass across, and then the goal from Bernardo Silva. It was a fantastic goal. Who do I think is going to go through? I think it's pretty basic. I think Thomas Tuchel is out, and I'm kind of happy with that. I don't think you should just sack a manager when you're top of the league. I know they're struggling, but that they don't really have a striker apart from Choupo-Moting, so there's not really much. And now they're clear, right? So I think Thomas Tuchel would have won the league. Julian Nagelsmann would have won the league anyway. So yeah, I think City will maybe they could lose, but they won't. Not go through, so City to go through. The next game was also an interesting game, where I thought Benfica was gonna surprise us, but they didn't, and Inter came out strong. Now it must be said that Benfica were also dominating for parts of the game, but really couldn't convert their chances into shots on target, and what. Inter did well was convert those big chances into goals, you know, scoring twice from four shots on target is efficiency, where Benfica couldn't do that, basically. I personally didn't watch the game, so I'm just looking at stats. Now for Benfica to come back from a 2-0 deficit at home, I think it's gonna be too much, and that's gonna say Inter Milan to go through. Then on Wednesday, the 12th of April, 2023, we had an all-Italian game. AC Milan surprised the majority of people by beating Napoli 1-0. Now, obviously, a week before in the Stadio, Diego Maradona Stadium, Napoli were thrashed by this team, the same team that then again beat them at the San Siro 1-0 for a goal from Bennacer. But it was a joy to watch. I watched this one instead of the Chelsea game because, oh my God, this was fun. If you are gonna have to choose between the two, I don't think you have to, because one has already been played. But this one is really tight. But oh my God, was it fun to watch? Rafa Leão, what a player! Ibrahim Diaz, is that his name? Brahim Diaz. Oh my God, is he good? Like, I don't really watch AC Milan that much. I don't watch the Serie A a lot, but I know that like Leao is one of my favorite players. Every single time I see him in the Champions League, play, oh, he's too good. Theo Hernandez was a bit of a rat, but you know he knows how to play the game, so fair play. Giroud had one wonderful touch. I don't know where that came from. He was like a ballerina on the pitch, and then Kvaratskhelia again was also very good. You know, he came off in the 81st minute, but his dribbles always constantly pressuring the opposite team was interesting to watch. And then but then for the rest, there wasn't really much to that Napoli side. You know, they're missing Osimhen. Osimhen will be back in the return at the that Diego Maradona Stadium. And despite the momentum being on Napoli's side and the big chance for Kvaratskhelia at the start, especially, and then after a short period after the half time and towards the end, it was interesting, especially towards the end when in a certain minute in the second half, Napoli got that red card for a double yellow on Anguissa in the 74th minute. You would really expected, I would have expected AC Milan to push more with Napoli on 10 and there only being one go up. However, that didn't happen. Napoli took charge of the game and then wanted to push. And then a wonderful save from Maignan, who's been incredible. And it's been good that Hugo Lloris has retired from the France national team because Maignan is definitely an upgrade and he's incredible. Now, the second game on this day was Real Madrid facing off against Chelsea. Now, I think we all expected Chelsea to lose this game away from home. It was just by how much, right? And it was 2-0. Despite the fact that Chelsea, despite the fact Real Madrid played poor, they still managed to just win. This Chelsea team needs a lot of rebuilding. They got completely dominated. Real Madrid on like 50%, still got 10 shots, 18 shots in total, 10 shots on target, 18 shots over the total game. And it was just staggering to see how bad and no input Chelsea put into the game. I think João Félix is an average player, very average. He hasn't, people, I've watched Atletico a lot because Sergio, and I'm a big fan of Atletico myself. And just everyone that comes from like the Portuguese league is a flop. Like everyone, right? For the amount of money you pay, it's like the biggest scam you can get is the Portuguese league. And after that, it's Ajax. But the Portuguese league by itself, a whole league of just scammers, bro. Benfica, especially. I think the biggest scammers are Benfica and Ajax. They just overprice the players and they are so shit. I think it's been like 3, 4 years now that João Félix has been playing at the top and he's never really had a good season. I think he had maybe won at Atletico when they were winning the league. But, for 121 million, you would expect so much more. The same counts for another Benfica overpriced player, Enzo Fernandes. Not really giving me good, he's okay, but for 125 mil, expect more, way more. And it's nothing against him. It's obviously Chelsea overpaying. But another prime example is Darwin Nunez. Gonzalo Ramos will also be one of those. Just don't fall into the Benfica trick, bro. Antony is a prime example. 100 mil, Man United is shit. I think I saw his stats, played 23 games, only scored like 3 goals in the Premier League. Like, oh, but he had big moments against Barcelona. Well done, mate. But that doesn't make you worth 100 million. Nor does that make it any better, right? You expect a player to do that, and he has. Well done. But for the rest, he's been shit. Anyways, without putting too much hate on players, Vinicius Junior, oh, the best player at Real Madrid right now with Benzema. Those two are just incredible. Camavinga playing left back also shows his diversity in the team. It was incredible. And just watching Modric, bro. If you should just watch Real Madrid and just watch Modric. He's always phenomenal. So yeah, it was interesting. And Ben Chilwell did get a red card. Koulibaly got off injured. So problems at Chelsea for the return. From the Milan Napoli game, I'm gonna say Milan because I'm a bit of an AC Milan fan myself. To go through, where people and I think I was one of them as well predicted Napoli to go and win the whole thing now, but they've dropped off. That little burst of energy at the start of the season, midway through after the, especially after the World Cup, is now slowly dying down. And Real Madrid will go through. And yesterday we had Manchester United versus Sevilla, Juventus Sporting, Leverkusen, Union Saint-Gilloise, and my mighty boys Feyenoord facing off against AS Roma. Now for the attention span, we're gonna start with. Well, I've only watched one of them. I watched a replay for all of them. Szczesny obviously fell out injured. He's okay, which is good. Juventus seem to not inspire anyone at the moment, and Sporting were unlucky not to score, especially towards the end when Perrin made two incredible saves. Leverkusen expected them to beat Union Saint-Gilloise, but Union is very underestimated, and I think last year as well, they were supposed to win the league. They were like 60 points clear, but then somehow Club Brugge won it. And then I was devastated to see that my boy Tyrell Malacia scored an own goal. Fairly unfortunate. His marking was awful. He did miss time, miscalculate the ball. And then it was a big shame that Harry Maguire scores the own goal to make it 2-2 in like both with less than 10 minutes to go. When they were up for 80 minutes of so they were up with 80 minutes remaining, and they only scored twice in the first 20 minutes, and then couldn't score. So it was a bit weird. Yeah, that was interesting. And then Feyenoord won. So I'm gonna talk a lot about the game. Now it was an interesting game. It was a good game. It was a high intensity game. It was a top game. Good news for some Feyenoord fans. If you didn't watch, Dybala and Tammy Abraham went off injuries, which will be good. Obviously, Andrea Belotti is also an underrated striker who will probably replace them in the second leg. But oh my goodness, what game it was! From unfair penalties to those unfair penalties being missed, to goal line clearances to Fucking aluminium being hit was crazy. Now, we expected Roma to sit back and just defend all game. Because that's Jose Mourinho's tactics. He's a bit of a pussy when it comes to that. He's a big man for a big pussy, the way he plays. But Roma, again, uninspiring in finals. I have to say, I was really disappointed with our wingers. Our wingers are shit. I've been saying this all year, but every single time I say they're shit, they do something pretty well. Like Idrissi, I was complaining about him the whole game, that he couldn't get past in the one-on-ones. And then he just did one time, delivers a cross, and then a good hit, a bit of a scuffy shot from Vifa on the volley to make a 1-0. And then after that, it was game over. Now, final dominated possession, 55 to 45. Only had two shots on target, very compact defending from Roma. Some big saves from both keepers, but the biggest save was also from Idrissi when I think it was Pellegrini, or no, it wasn't Pellegrini, or oh no, it was Ibanez, headed the ball, and then Idrissi clears it off the line, and it was like 2 inches that saved Feyenoord from not drawing that game. Now in the away game, it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be tough. People have been saying, I've been reading the comments on some posts that the Stadio Olimpico is gonna be fierce and all of this stuff. We'll see. We'll see. It's gonna be interesting. They're gonna have to attack. I think they're gonna approach the game slow though, and then towards the end, they're gonna apply pressure. Because that's the way they were. They're going to rely heavily on the last 20, 30 minutes of the game. I don't think they're going to come out guns blazing. I think they're going to hold back, make sure that they're steady, make sure they have the ball maybe a bit more than they did yesterday. And then towards the game, play Catenaccio football, to try and score on the counterattack. But I was very, very gassed with the win yesterday. Then some interesting West Ham. Should Moisey be going? Should he be staying? Like, what's the plan? They've invested heavily in the summer. Just drew to Gent. Gent, I have this guy called Gift Orban. And again, yesterday, he almost scored a bicycle kick. It hit the crossbar. Pretty incredible. Then another team, Anderlecht, won against AZ Alkmaar, who's flopped off again towards the end of the season. But fair play to Anderlecht at home, 2-0. Basel played Nice 2-0. Didn't watch that game. I'm just now reading out scores. Legia Poznan, the Polish team, lost 4-1 expectantly to Fiorentina, who I think are the bookies' favorites to win the competition. But to go through who I'm thinking are going to go through, Manchester United will go through, Juventus will go through, Union Saint-Gilloise will go through, and Feyenoord will go through. In the Conference League, and we've got Gent versus West Ham. I think West Ham will go through, especially at home. Being 90 minutes, being at 0-0, being equal is going to help them out. Anderlecht AZ's going to extra time. God knows who takes it after extra time. I think AZ will score 2 goals at home. I think they're going to get a good result this weekend. And then that's going to give them confidence to go all out at home. All or nothing football. And it's going to be exciting to watch that one. Basel Nice, I think Nice will take it at home. And I think Fiorentina have already won. So they're going through. So I'm saying Feyenoord, Union Saint-Gilloise facing off in the semi-final. And then Juventus facing Manchester United in the semi-final. Then West Ham, AZ, I think. And then Nice, Fiorentina. It's going to be very exciting, guys. It's going to be very exciting. Let me know what you think. Who will make it through? Who's going to qualify for those semi-finals of the Champions League, of the Europa League, and of the Conference League? If you've enjoyed this, thank you very much for listening. Yeah, we'll see you in the next one. Hopefully, next time we will have another guest on the pod so we can have a bit more conversation than just me blabbing about football. But if you did, make sure you go check out our Instagram as well, the Offside Insta. To stay updated with stuff that you probably already know. So we're gonna have to think hard about what we're gonna post on the Instagram. But yeah, if you enjoyed it, please listen to the other episodes. And let me know. Recommend it to your friend, and appreciate all of you listening. We'll see you after the second leg of the quarterfinals. Goodbye.